Welcome to Tools, Talents, and Techniques. I'm your host, Dustin Sutton. Today, we're joined by Malcolm Lemons. He's the founder of Vetted Sports. He's a former pro athlete, and he's built a sports tech website that provides news, insights, and analysis on all kinds of professional sports. Really like what he's building here, so I'm happy to have this conversation about his journey and what he's building. So here he is. Malcolm, welcome.
Thanks, Dustin. Appreciate the opportunity, man. Great to be here.
As we're jumping off, can you just say a little bit about yourself and what you're building?
Yeah, for sure. So as you kind of alluded to before, I'm a former professional basketball player, played overseas for a couple of years, then got started professionally in technology. So my background professionally started around cybersecurity, but kind of always had this passion for the business of sports. So I did a number of different things over the years, but during the pandemic kind of fell down the Web3 rabbit hole, as a lot of people did, with like NFTs and, all that jazz, and wanted to see how I can merge, you know, my background working in tech with this passion for sports. Started a newsletter called The Hype Report at the time, which was centered around sports and Web3. Built up an audience for about a year and a half. It kind of evolved and grew over time to be just more sports technology, all-encompassing. Then did a rebrand, kind of had this vision of building like TechCrunch for the world of sports. So did a rebrand to Vetted Sports at the beginning of 2024, and launched that platform. And essentially what we're trying to build is the one-stop shop, resource for all things sports tech. So news, founder, interviews, insights, analysis around the industry, and providing, just a lot of content and even a community, centered around sports technology.
From what it looks like, it doesn't look like you're just trying to build it. You are building it, and it's pretty impressive, everything I've seen so far. I want to talk about your journey and how these two worlds collided with the sports and the technology. Where did you grow up, and was basketball your main sport or your only sport growing up?
So I am originally from Washington, D.C., born and raised. I grew up playing different sports. Soccer was actually my first sport. Then I played football, and then basketball was the last sport that I tried and is the sport that I wanted to pursue. So I think about in fifth or sixth grade, I had this crazy dream of wanting to be a professional athlete, as a lot of kids do. And all my attention, energy, and efforts were put into that from high school all the way up to college. Didn't have much of a life outside of that. Well, I did, but basketball was definitely the priority growing up for me. And was fortunate enough to play, you know, at a highly competitive high school. Sophomore year, our team was nationally ranked. We were, I want to say, top, you know, three in the country in some polls. And so, a very, very highly competitive high school league called the Washington Catholic Athletic Conference. Got to play against a lot of NBA players, a lot of guys who even went on to play in the NFL. So that kind of propelled me to go play in college at Niagara University, which I was there for 3 years, and then finished up at Cal State San Marcos out in San Diego. And then went overseas in Japan for a couple of years. So I was you know, blessed enough to be able to achieve that dream that I set for myself at such a young age.
When you were in high school, what year was this when you were like a junior or senior in high school?
That we were nationally ranked, or?
Yeah, that you were playing high school basketball in D.C. Not necessarily the nationally ranked one, but that whole era. When was that?
This was 2006 to 2010. Okay. So I graduated high school in 2010.
Who were the major, like, besides yourself? I know you were probably getting it, but who else in that time frame that you'd play against or play with?
Oh man, too many to name, honestly. I think Josh Shelby was number two in the country. We played against him. He went to DeMatha. They also had Victor Oladipo on that team. Jeremy Grant and his brother Jerian Grant, who both played in the NBA. Quinn Cook was on that team. On my team, we had Tyler Thornton, who played at Duke. Cedric Lindsey played at Richmond. Ian Hummer, who went on to be, I think he's an all-time leading scorer at Princeton. He's still playing overseas. Our conference were stacked, man. Like every single night, you played against at least two or three Division I players. Kendall Marshall, who played at UNC. Trying to think of some other names. I mean, it was high level basketball. You know, come from the same areas like Michael Beasley, Kevin Durant, Nolan Smith. So, I mean, basketball in DC is like, it's a hotbed of, you know, just hoop talent. And when you have the opportunity to kind of play against that high level of a competition, I tell people all the time, like, I wasn't even the best player on any of my basketball teams past middle school. I was probably third, fourth best player on my high school teams. But that just shows you, you know, I had an opportunity to go play pro, but it's a testament to how competitive that area is and how hoops is really like everything. You know, it's kind of just in the culture, embedded in the culture of DC.
One of the things that you mentioned was you didn't have much of a life outside of basketball. And I think that's part of it. When you're in that type of environment, when you're playing against that, you have to be all in. You know, if you're going to compete, if you're going to be on the team and play, you have to do that. Is that something that you've realized at the time, or is that something that you've only seen in hindsight?
I realized it going into my freshman year of high school. So we actually, my high school's, because of the level we played at, it was really an all year round thing. Like, we had preseason workouts, and at the time I still wanted to play football going into high school. So I think I had went out for football tryouts, made the football team. And then my high school basketball coach basically came to me and said, well, you know, we have basketball workouts every day that coincide with football practice. And so I looked at the amount of talent that was there my freshman year, but also the people who were ahead of me, and had this understanding of, like, you kind of have to specialize or choose what sports you want to play. Like, there's certain players who are athletically good enough or talented enough to play multiple sports and still have opportunity to play in college, high level college. I wasn't one of those guys. I was the type of guy who was like, I needed to pick something and focus on that, because if I would have played football and basketball, I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to go as far as I did with basketball. So I realized when I got to high school how competitive basketball was, and not only that, how competitive the high school I was at, and how much work I needed to put in if I really wanted to get to this point that I said I wanted to get to.
So when after high school and you go to college, you're playing for school. Was that something? Was going playing pro at any level your goal? Was that like your sole focus even when you were in school?
Yeah, absolutely. I think going into college, for me, the main thing was going to a school where I was going to be able to have the opportunity to play as a freshman, play early. It actually started as a freshman. But what comes along with that, I think my freshman year, we were the third youngest team in the country. We had four freshmen starting. And so there's a lot of growing pains that come with that, a lot of things you have to learn in terms of, you know, you get to play Division I basketball. It's a whole different level, whole different approach to the game. And so we struggled the first couple years. I struggled for a number of reasons, including like bumping heads with the coaches, like disagreements with the coaches, how much my playing time, going through like certain injuries. I got sick my sophomore year, which kind of, you know, messed some things up. So it didn't really go as I imagined it would. But I think all of that, you know, all of those kind of trials and tribulations and things that I went through led up to me transferring my senior year, which ultimately is what gave me the opportunity to go play overseas. But the goal from the beginning was always to, like, how what's the best route? No matter what I go through, what's the best route and how can I make it to the highest level that I can? And that was professionally, whether it was overseas playing, you know, in the G League or the D League, as it was called back then, or, you know, have an opportunity to play in the NBA. So however I could kind of reach the pinnacle of my sport, the highest levels, and get paid to do something that I love to do. That was the focus 100% in high school and in college.
Tell me about some of the things that you learned about yourself through that process. And actually, maybe even before we get there, because then you're actually playing pro overseas. There's a lot of life to be lived. There's a lot of lessons. And a big part of this is like the tools, talents, and techniques. Yeah. I'm really trying to get to in this conversation, and I think we will, of like, you found a way to your interests and the things that you love and the things you work to find a way to carve out a career for yourself and put something into the world with Vetted Sports. Tell me about like some of the life lessons along the journey that you figured out to be able to come to this point.
There's a ton of things that come to mind. I think naturally when you play sports, you gather a lot of traits and intangibles that are valuable outside of the realm of any sport that you play. And so in hindsight, I didn't realize this until I stopped playing, but like things such as like teamwork, you know, being able to work with people from different backgrounds, experiences, you know, cultural makeup, you know, that is so valuable in the real world, because the real world is a melting pot of, you know, when you go to a job, you're not working with someone who comes from the same experiences or who looks like you. You're working with somebody who comes from a completely different background in understanding and perspective of the world. And so sports taught me a lot about how to maneuver in certain rooms and get along with different types of people. Another kind of lesson or intangible that comes to mind is like resiliency. Like I talk about like the trials and tribulations and going through injuries, going through setbacks, and having problems with your coaches, having problems with your teammates, potentially, like all these different things that you kind of encounter being an athlete, but having this goal in mind, like that, it takes a lot of diligence and persistence and resiliency to continue pushing on. I had a lot of teammates growing, people who I grew up with who were like, oh, I want to play pro, but they didn't really understand how many things you have to go through to get to that point, and how many, you know, setbacks and things that are going to be kind of pushing you in the other direction and wanting you to quit. And so I think resiliency was probably one of the most valuable lessons that I took away, and something that I carried now in like business. Like, you're going to get told no a million times. Business deals are going to fall through. Stuff is not going to go your way. But how you continue to persevere and push on and how you have that resiliency is super important. Another thing that comes to mind is like patience. Whenever I, you know, when I stopped playing, I would go back to high schools and talk to younger athletes, and I tell them all the time, like it takes years and years and years to become a great athlete. It's the same thing in anything else that you do in life. Like that, you have to have the patience, like the discipline first and foremost, like to put in the work every single day, but the patience to understand that this is a marathon. Like it takes years and years to be great at something, and a lot of that is just staying the course and trusting the process. So I took a number of different lessons that I got from sports into everything that I'm doing now, and it's just compounded over time. Even like, as I said before, like subconsciously athletes don't realize it, but now in hindsight, looking back, like that made me a lot of who I am and how I operate on a daily basis comes from being an athlete and taking all those lessons with me.
One thing that it seems to be common with athletes is like channeling that energy, right? Like you've been channeling your energy towards this one goal for so long. Now that you're doing this and in the business world, maybe there's a stop before this. Did you find it? How did you find that transition of being able to focus your attention and your energy and your competitiveness into a different venture outside of directly your basketball career?
It was tough. I think in hindsight, I understood that I would not be an athlete for the entirety of my life. Like that was apparent very early on. My mom always preached education to my brother and I, even though we were always sports focused, but that was a big part of who I was as well. Like I always kind of had this business mind, this business sense, and was interested in being an entrepreneur at some point in time. I didn't know when that would be or how that would happen. And so when trying to make that transition into life after sports, even though I had that understanding, it was still a challenge for me because your identity is so tied to being an athlete. Like for 20 plus years of my life, that's all people knew me as. That was my value, you know, Malcolm, the basketball player. And so getting people to understand that I was venturing into something else, or, you know, even trying to get myself to understand of like, this is, you know, not, what I do is not who I am, but also how do I kind of take everything that I've learned thus far in life and transition it over into something else was still a tough journey, and it took a lot of trial and error. So from the time that I stopped playing basketball, even though I kind of had a sense of where I was going, the road was still kind of, you know, unclear. And I, as I said before, you know, in the beginning, like I tried a lot of different things to kind of get to the point where I am today, but that was another part of the process that I think was really valuable because it helped me understand like what I'm passionate about, you know, where my skill sets lie, what I could see myself doing on a daily basis. And so that process of, which took like 3 to 4 years, was really helpful. And I think a lot of athletes need to do more exploring, you know, especially while they're playing. You know, don't wait till you're done, but like take the time that you're not playing your sport to explore other interests and stuff that you might be passionate about and talk to people, you know, build those relationships. And so it was tough to make the transition, but I think, you know, my ability to kind of in humility to start from zero and understand like, okay, like I'm, you know, trying something brand new. It might not work out, but understand like having that understanding and being willing to pivot was super important to get to where I'm at today for sure.
Were there any tools that you found helpful as far as your exploration and your journey and finding your way? Was there, you know, any books or any podcasts, shows, people that were influential in helping you find your path?
I want to say the first, when I think about books, the first business book I read, because I wasn't a big reader growing up, but when I was overseas and had a ton of time on my hands, I started reading more. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was probably the first. It's pretty cliche, but that was the first business book I read. Then I read The Richest Man in Babylon, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So I kind of took like the most prominent self-development and self-help books and money-related books and made a list and just hammered through them and read all of those. Then I would listen to podcasts from like I started listening to a Gary Vee podcast. Trying to think of other podcasts that I started listening to. Like anything business related, I just try to dive into and learn as much as possible, knowing that that was the arena that I wanted to get into. And then in terms of like people who have helped me, outside of my mother, who has been probably like the driving force of like most of my success, you know, watching kind of how she sacrificed and her hard work to raise my brother and I. You know, I've had a number of different basketball mentors over the year who have kind of still had that place in my life, not necessarily from a business perspective, but going back to like the lessons of life and how those can apply to business. So, I think I've never had like a formal business mentor, but I've tried to, you know, understand that there's a lot of like gurus or like people that everyone look up to, and they post content online, they have their own podcast, they publish books, and I've been able to consume as much of that as possible, which has kind of served as like virtual mentorship for me. So that's kind of what has helped me build my business acumen and understanding of how business operate was just through like being resourceful, leveraging social media and content in an intelligent way, and understanding like some of the smartest people in the world have put their thoughts and their life experiences into this book, and trying to just do my best to apply that knowledge and the stuff that I read to anything that I'm trying to build.
Yeah. And I love that. Just being a sponge and just putting yourself around it, reading it, whatever you can, because I think that's a great point. Those people that put so much effort into those books, into those pieces of work that you can take from and their experience. I want to be mindful of our time here. So I really want to jump into Vetted Sports and what you're doing. And I know it's hard to encapsulate everything that you've done in your life into, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, but yeah, where you are and what you're doing is like, you have your finger on the pulse of things that a lot of people gravitate towards for good reason. Sports, technology, you know, cutting edge news and insights. And what you're doing, and I know it's not easy. I know nothing's worth it that is easy, right? But like you found a way, and you're doing this. What that means to you, and like, and what are you really most excited about in the intersection of all these things?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of considered myself to be a value add to anybody that I come in contact with. So, from a business perspective, when I first started to get into business, I didn't ask anybody for anything. Like if there was a relationship that I wanted to build, I would always try to position myself to serve other people and ask them, how can I support what you're doing? And I think over time, when people see you as service first and someone who's going to add value to others' lives, you kind of naturally build this trust and rapport. that compounds over time. And so I think everything that I've done prior to building Vetted Sports has been this kind of compounding effect of like relationships, putting out great content and stuff that people deem valuable, and merging my passions together, sports and tech and business investing. And so I'm really happy that, you know, I've been able to kind of put together something that like it provides value to people, but also kind of serves me as well as something that I enjoy doing every single day and that I can see myself doing for a long period of time. And as I alluded to before, like it took years to kind of get to this point, but you know, when you kind of, as I said before, like trust the process, and understand that anything you do is like, it's a journey, you know, you're going through peaks and valleys and a series of pivots, but it all kind of leads to this point right now. I'm really happy to see kind of where the platform is right now. And in terms of like the vision going forward, I think I said this before, but like we're trying to build like TechCrunch for the world of sports. So hyper focused on like early and growth stage sports tech startups who, you know, might be flying under the radar, might not, you know, get the attention from some of the bigger publications in the space. And so really kind of tackling this white space that I think has been neglected, and providing a platform for people to learn, but also build community. And so the subscription product that we just pre-launched about a month ago, which is still kind of in beta, I think is going to do that. It's going to provide opportunities for founders in a space to connect with one another. It's going to provide opportunities for them to connect with business leaders. So some of the top shakers and movers in and around not only sports technology, but sports business as a whole, providing more deep dive reports and databases, which have information that could be pertinent for like business deals and other opportunities and companies that you might want more insight on. And so we're really trying to, you know, bring this ecosystem under one umbrella, and continue servicing, you know, as I said previously, like it's all about being a value add for me and serving people first and foremost. And, you know, the success of the platform will come as long as we're doing those things day in and day out.
Well, you're definitely adding value, and everything that I've seen has been really good. And I, even though you said that like, it's taken years to get to this point, does it feel like you're just getting started? I mean, cause that's what's really fun about a lot of this process for me is that even though there's a lot behind it, it's like, there's so much potential there. And for Vetted Sports and what you're building, like I see the potential, and I see like the data and the insights and the sharing and the highlighting of other companies and people that are doing things. It feels like the runway is ahead of you, man. You got so much promise here.
Thank you. No, I appreciate you seeing the vision. But yeah, no, we haven't even gotten started. As I said before, like the subscription product hasn't even launched yet. You know, we have a lot of things in the works that we're kind of shaping and developing, and we're really just laying the foundation right now. So the sky is really the limit, and there's opportunities for collaborations and things of that nature. So it's just I'm just trying to enjoy the process for the most part. It's something that obviously, you know, I believe has a ton of upside and potential, but there's no rush to build. You know, it's doing things the right way, and making sure that everything we do kind of aligns with our core mission and where we see the platform going over the next 10 years.
Do you draw a direct line towards your experience, whether it be, you know, basketball or sports, to your mindset of trusting this process and doing this? Does that come directly from your experience with sports?
I would think so. I definitely think that, you know, regardless of what I went through during my athletic career, I put a lot of faith into believing that I would still reach that dream. You know, I set this dream at a very young age, and it didn't, I talked about this before, but like it didn't go the way I wanted it to, obviously. You know, I didn't expect to have injuries and get sick and then having to transfer and all these different kind of things that could have been a deterrent, but it went back to like me believing in, no matter what I went through, it was still going to happen for me if it was meant to be. You know, if I still did the right things, put the work in, was you know, had integrity, trusted in everything that, you know, God had laid out for me. I did that, and I still, you know, was able to achieve that dream. And so I think it is a testament to that. And I've carried that faith and that belief over into business. And so, you know, faith without works is obviously dead, but you got to have faith to begin. You got to believe that whatever you're doing in life is serving your purpose and is going to work out as long as you're operating in the right ways. So
in your experience and what you're seeing in the landscape of sports and technology, are there any things that surprised you? Not just surprise. Two questions. Is there anything that surprised you that you weren't aware of before in the sports technology landscape? And the second question, which could be related to the first, what are you most excited about in the sports and technology space?
So as far as, I mean, I'm trying to learn each and every week. I come across companies on a daily basis where I'm like, I could never build this. Like, this is you're way smarter than I am. And so I think from that standpoint of like, I'm always in amazement of like the ideas that people have. I'm definitely a 0 to 1 guy. But some of these ideas that people bring to life, I think is super fascinating. And things related to, I mean, obviously AI is the buzzword of the year and has been. But you know, things, even in like the blockchain, you know, Web3 realm and AR and VR, I think all of this is super fascinating. And it's kind of, we're still at the beginning stages of how sports is going to be consumed and fan engagement is going to be revolutionized. And so, you know, to kind of, you know, answer your second question as well, is like, I think anything related to how teams and athletes are reinventing ways to connect and build relationships with fans is super intriguing. And when you look at it from a Gen Z perspective of how we're shifting away from like linear programming and how, you know, these younger fans are really consuming content and want to, they have a whole different perspective and viewpoint as to their favorite athletes, their favorite teams, and where that engagement piece lies. And I think we'll see a lot of innovation taking place around that in the next 5 to 10 years. As teams start to build out different forms of technology, utilizing technology to help bridge that gap even further. So I'm super excited about fan engagement companies and people, you know, teams who are utilizing technology to improve and streamline that process.
Well, it's an exciting time. There's a lot happening. There's a lot of development. And I'm really excited for what you're building and how you're building it, because it's one of the first places I go when I want to find out what's happening in this world. So thank you for everything that you're doing, you're putting together.
No, I appreciate that, Dustin. It means a lot, man.
Yeah. And so before we go, do you any parting words or any, where can people find you? Where can they log on to get more about Vetted Sports?
Yeah. So we're at vettedsports.com, and we have a newsletter that we send out each and every week, which kind of recaps everything that's happening in around sports tech and sports business. I am probably most active on LinkedIn and Malcolm Lemons, but I'm on every social media at Malcolm Lemons. I'm probably the only one in the world, so I'm pretty easy to find, but always open to connecting with people and meeting new people. So please, you know, support and reach out if there's anything that I can do to help, you know, let me know.
All right. Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on all your success.
Thanks, Dustin. Appreciate it, man.